Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. If you can, would you please stand for the reading of the Gospel? He went away from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And on the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get all this? What is the wisdom given to him? What mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are not those his sisters here with us?" And they took offense. And Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, and among his own kin and in his own house. And he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And then he went about among the villages teaching. And he called to him the 12 and began to send them out two by two, and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not put on two tunics. And he said to them, 'Where you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. And if any place will not receive you and they refuse to hear you, when you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet for a testimony against them.' So they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them." The word of God for the people of God. Well, you know, Pastor Bruce always comes down here to give his sermon, and I've seen Chris do it now, too. Change is so annoying, you know? If my mom were here, she would say, "Yeah, just because Chris does it, if they jumped off a bridge, does that mean you have to jump off a bridge?" And, yeah, Mom, I guess I do, because here I am. The American patriot. A patriot is someone who is willing to sacrifice to defend and support his country. A patriot recognizes that when self-interest takes him in this direction and his country's interests take him in this direction, he's got to follow his country's interest, because there's something more important than your own self-interest. There's something bigger than you. Where does a patriot get that willingness to sacrifice? Well, it's from faith. It's faith in his country's principles. I mean, we all have disagreements. We have different political thoughts. We have divisions. But we have this general fabric of a moral compass that guides us. And we have faith in that system. And we have faith in our fellow citizens because we all buy into the system. So we're willing to fight for each other, defend each other, support each other. The greater the faith, the greater the patriotism, the greater the country. When a country loses its faith, when a country loses its patriotism, it goes south in a heartbeat. The Old Testament scripture we heard today from 2 Samuel, yeah, that was the Israel nation at the top of their game. All the tribes had unified behind, and they had the blessings of God. And they were a great nation. They had reason to be proud. But if you keep reading past Samuel and you go to Kings and 2 Kings and the prophets, you see how it all unravels over the centuries. They lose their faith in each other. The tribes become unified. They split off. And before you know it, the Assyrians are taking them from the north, and the Babylonians are taking them from the south, and there's nothing left of it. Actually, every country in history has gone through this cycle. Great faith in each other. Only to then collapse. America still has faith in its people. What does it mean to be a Christian patriot? We usually think of patriots in terms of being patriotic for your country. But what would a Christian patriot look like? I think pretty much the same thing. We have this guiding principle that we can have a relationship with God through accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior and accepting the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And we have faith in each other. That's easy, right? We all know each other. I know all you people. I know you have faith. I know you seek God. I know Wendell and Sarah. I know Barb. I know what they do for this church. I know Lou and what he does for this church, and Jerry. And I know the Saporitos up there. I know what they've done for this church. They've sacrificed for this church. We've all sacrificed for this church. I know what Bill has done for this church and Elaine. It's easy to sacrifice for each other, and we have faith in each other because we support each other, right? We're there for each other. We're willing to defend for each other. We're willing to fight for each other. And that's what makes our church, because quite frankly, if we have no faith in our Christian principles and we have no faith in each other, we're all wasting our time this morning, okay? Nothing could be accomplished. This meeting would be pointless. We all need that connection, because with faith, we know you can do great things. Without faith, you can't do anything. That's what the scripture reading was this morning. Remember last week when Pastor Bruce preached from Mark chapter 5? Everything was great. There were blessings everywhere. There were healings everywhere. You go to chapter 6 and you got none of that. What's the difference? I mean, you had the same Jesus in chapter 5 as you had in chapter 6. You had people who needed healing and blessing in chapter 5, and you had people who needed healings and blessings in chapter 6. It's not a mystery here. The difference is faith. The people in chapter 5 had faith. The people in Nazareth did not have faith, and they couldn't accomplish anything. As Christian patriots, we need every measure of faith we can get. Why? To protect us from freedom. I know you probably lost me there. Follow me along here. To protect us from freedom. You know, I get it. Americans cherish freedom. You know? Freedom is everything to us. Okay? And we think of the cost of freedom. We think about the sacrifices that people have made. And rightly so. People have given their lives for this country. We think of that. We honor that. There's another cost of freedom that I want you to think about. It's the cost of making the wrong decision. Look, when you have freedom to make decisions, you own that decision. You got to live with the cost of that decision. Right? Some decisions, not so important, small consequences. Big decisions, big consequences. In a moment of weakness, I agree to watch a movie on the Hallmark Channel with my wife. That's a bad decision, man. Yeah? Live and learn. You know? And that's 2 hours of my life I'll never get back. All right? Some decisions are deadly decisions. A deer standing on the side of the road in the high brush next to a roadway in a dark and foggy night, and he says, you know what, I think I'll step out into that road, and I think I'll just stand there while these two bright lights come at me and see what happens. That deer's going to have a bad day. Okay, that's the worst decision an animal can make, a decision that costs that animal his life. But we're not just animals. The stakes are a lot higher for us. Because God has blessed us with the opportunity to seek him and to know him. And this is the scary part. He's given us the freedom to either accept him or reject him. And we're going to own that decision ultimately. He'll respect that decision. If we want eternal separation from God, that's what we'll get. And that's the most tragic consequence of all. That's why what we do here is so important and so urgent. In the second part of the scripture reading this morning, starting with verse 7, what we see here is a snapshot of all the hot shots at the synagogue about to make the bad spiritual decision. They had the most valuable thing in their midst that you could even possibly comprehend. The Son of God was there to interpret Scripture for them. And they all recognized that. This guy knows his stuff. He is spot on. Where does he get this? And they watched him perform miracles that nobody else could possibly perform. But they were offended by him. Why are they offended by him? There's only one explanation. They had a social structure, and they were up here, okay? And then they talk about Jesus, they say, as a son of Mary. Notice that's a shot there, by the way. They didn't say the son of Joseph, they said the son of Mary. He's an illegitimate handyman, he's nothing. And darned if we're going to let him leapfrog over us, okay? Because we're more important, because we've earned the right to be here. They rejected Jesus. In legal terms, this wasn't just negligence. This was calculated, intentional tort. And it was the most dangerous and risky decision they'll make. Now, hopefully, they will ultimately repent. I mean, we get ultimate chances to accept Christ. We only have to accept him once. But we never know when we're going to run out of time, right? You never know when the last chance is going to be your last chance. It'd be nice to have a warning. You remember the show Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? And there was Regis Philbin. And he would always warn the contestant. The contestant had to pick between four answers. And the questions got tougher the higher you went. You could go out for a lifeline or whatever. And Regis Philbin, you know, after the contestant, with him and haw about the, Regis would say, "Is that your final answer?" Yeah. And then the contestant would say yes, and then he'd either be right or wrong, whatever. It'd be nice to have that warning when you were at your last chance. As Christians, at least we get the Holy Spirit. We're conditioned to listen to the Holy Spirit, so when we're about to make a bad decision, there's that little Regis Philbin in my head, you know, he's asking me to re-examine it. Example. Yeah, that ministry, that shows a lot of promise. I probably needs a little financial help here, but you know, I already got my budget set up. And, you know, I got a little flexibility here, but I need that flexibility. And quite frankly, I'd like to spend that money on myself. And Regis says, "Really? That your final answer?" Maybe not, you know, and you rethink it, right? Sometimes we lie to ourselves. I suggest that we lie more to ourselves than we lie to anybody. We're trying to jockey and mold our justifications to justify the decision we want to make, even if it's the wrong decision. I may have a not repugnant voice. Maybe I would have play a role in the music ministry, but I bet you that takes a lot of time, and you probably have to do it every day, and you probably have to know how to read music, and you're not allowed to miss, I don't think. And I think I'll just put that decision off. And besides, I understand Diane's a tyrant. And the Holy Spirit will come to you and say, "Well, that's not true." Well, the part about Diane's true, but the rest of it's not true. You know, you can still be involved in this ministry, and forces you to make your justifications consistent with reality. That's what I do. When I think I may be on the verge of making a bad spiritual decision. A lot more of your decisions have spiritual consequences than you may think. But when I think I'm making a bad, I say it out loud. And I sort of play a devil's advocate with myself. Because when you're about to make a bad decision and you put it out in words, It sounds even dumber when you say it, and you might reconsider what you're going to do. I'm not going to talk about Jesus in public because that embarrasses me. Jesus embarrasses me. Final answer. You want to say that? I'm not going to read scripture because it takes a lot of work, takes a lot of time, and you know, there's a lot of mind-numbing TV programs that are out there that I need to get caught up on. And besides, I want the flexibility to decide for myself what God thinks rather than read about who he is. I want God to conform to my image and rather than me conform to his image. Final answer. Wrong answer. You can apply it to just about anything. The point is, you need to rely upon the Holy Spirit to make sure your actions are in conformity with your faith. Because it's only through faith that anything significant can happen for you from a spiritual perspective. Without faith, there's nothing. Here's one. Sometimes you might do the right thing for the wrong reasons. I'm going to take a visible position in the worship service or in our church because people think I'm good. And even God will have to admit that I bring a lot to the table. Final answer. Wrong answer. We all have skeletons in our closet. We bring nothing to the table. We do not earn anything. The only thing we can bring to the table is a willingness to let the Holy Spirit control our actions. We have to give our freedom to choose to Christ so that Christ can free us from sin. That's the only way out. That's the only way we win. And we need to spread that. We need to find a way to effectively spread that to the community that has rejected him because the stakes are so high. Go out there and be Christian patriots for our God. God loves you, and so does Pastor Bruce, and so do I.